Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar and today Masechus Shavuos Daf Lamed, at the beginning of the fourth parak Shavuos Eidos. This parak has been generously dedicated by the Shaiman family Zecher Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Zion Ben Yaakov Al Vasham. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the fourth parak begins Shavuos Eidos, the law of the oath of testimony, meaning witnesses who falsely swear they do not know Eidos necessary for a monetary case. No heges ba nashim v'lo ben nashim applies to men and not to women, nor to relatives, nor those who are otherwise disqualified witnesses because of a transgression. Ve'ena no heges el beruin l'hayid, and it only applies to those who are qualified to testify. Tanaim argue if they can be liable for swearing outside Beis Din, as explained in Daf Lamed Aleph. They're liable whether or not they know it's prohibited to swear falsely, provided they knowingly swore falsely. The liability for the shvua is a carbon ol of a yored, a carbon which goes up and down, which means varies based on its financial status. Three prices provide the source that women are disqualified from testifying. Each offers a different proof that va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, the two men shall stand, refers to edim, excluding women, and each concludes by proving it from a gezera shava of sheni. Point number two, a braisa darshens the pasuk va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, the two men shall stand, teaching mitzvah la'bali dinim shi'amdu. It's a mitzvah for the litigants to stand. Rita says he heard it that if the judges want the litigants to sit, they may seat them. Later, Rav Huna says that at the Gemar Din, verdict, all agree, the judges sit and the litigants must stand. However, it's forbidden to have one sit and the other stand, or to allow one to speak fully and tell the other to speak briefly, because if one litigant appears to be receiving better treatment, the other may become flustered and struggle to present his claim. A braisa darshens these laws from Betzedek Tishbot Amisecho, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. This pasuk also teaches, Havidanes Chavercho Lechavschus, judge your fellow favorably if you see him doing something questionable. Rav Yosef taught a braisa darshening it, Amshe Itcha B'Torah B'Mitzvos, concerning one of your nation who is with you in Torah Mitzvos, Ishtado L'Duno Yafe, ensure that you judge him well. Rashi explains that a Talmud Chacham's case should be judged before a simpleton's. And point number three, Rabbi Baruch Huna said that when a tzurba merabanan, a young scholar and an unlearned person are opponents in a court case, we seat the tzurba merabanan and also invite the amma'arts to sit. If he stands, there's no concern. The tzurba merabanan may not arrive first and sit, mishum demechzi kamand desadu legodine, because it appears like he's presenting his claim to the judge before his opponent arrives, which is forbidden. However, this only applies if the tzurba merabanan does not study at a regular time under the judge. If he does, his opponent will assume he's busy with his scheduled study and not presenting his claim. A tzurba merabanan who knows testimony but for whom it's undignified to testify before judges beneath his stature does not need to go testify. However, this only applies to monetary testimony, but as regards prohibitions, for example, a woman is about to remarry and the scholar knows her husband is still alive, ein chokhma, ein tfunah, ein etzel neged Hashem. There's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel contrary to Hashem. A Maimar allowed Rav Yemer to sit while testifying because Asi the Kavat Torah Adif, the positive commandment to honor the Torah is stronger than the mitzvah to stand during testimony. So once again, the three points are number one. The fourth parak begins, Shavuos Eidos, the law of the oath of testimony, meaning witnesses who falsely swear they do not know Eidos necessary for a monetary case, no heges ba'anashim v'lo benashim applies to men and not to women, nor to relatives, nor those who are otherwise disqualified witnesses because of a transgression, ve'ena no heges el beruin l'haid, and it only applies to those who are qualified to testify. Tanaim argue if they can be liable for swearing outside Beis Din, as explained in Daf Lamed Aleph. They're liable whether or not they know it's prohibited to swear falsely, provided they knowingly swore falsely. The liability for the shvua is a carbon ol of a yored, a carbon which goes up and down, which means varies based on its financial status. Three prices provide the source that women are disqualified from testifying. Each offers a different proof that va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, the two men shall stand, refers to edim, excluding women, and each concludes by proving it from a gezera shava of sheni. Point number two, a braisa darshens the pasuk va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, the two men shall stand, teaching mitzvah la'bali dinim shi'amdu. It's a mitzvah for the litigants to stand. Rita says he heard it that if the judges want the litigants to sit, they may seat them. Later, Rav Huna says that at the Gemar Din, verdict, all agree, the judges sit and the litigants must stand. However, it's forbidden to have one sit and the other stand, or to allow one to speak fully and tell the other to speak briefly, because if one litigant appears to be receiving better treatment, the other may become flustered and struggle to present his claim. A braisa darshens these laws from Betzedek Tishbot Amisecho, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. This pasuk also teaches, Havidanes Chavercho Lechavschus, judge your fellow favorably if you see him doing something questionable. Rav Yosef taught a braisa darshening it, Amshe itcha b'Torah b'mitzvos concerning one of your nation who is with you in Torah mitzvos, ishtado l'duno yafe, ensure that you judge him well. Rashi explains that a Talmud Chacham's case should be judged before a simpleton's. And pointing with Rabbi Baruch Huna said that when a tzurba merabanan, a young scholar and an unlearned person are opponents in a court case, we seat the tzurba merabanan and also invite the Amma Arts to sit. If he stands, there's no concern. The summa rabban may not arrive first and sit, mishum demechzi kaman desadu legodine, because it appears like he's presenting his claim to the judge before his opponent arrives, which is forbidden. However, this only applies if the Tzurban Rabban does not study at a regular time under the judge. If he does, his opponent will assume he's busy with his scheduled study and not presenting his claim. A Tzurban Rabban who knows testimony but for whom it's undignified to testify before judges beneath his stature does not need to go testify. However, this only applies to monetary testimony, but as regards prohibitions, for example, a woman is about to remarry and the scholar knows her husband is still alive, ein chokhmah, ein tfunah, ve'ein etzel neged Hashem. There's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel contrary to Hashem. A Maimar allowed Rav Yemer to sit while testifying because Asi dekava Torah Adif, the positive commandment to honor the Torah is stronger than the mitzvah to stand during testimony. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Lamed, and our standard Siman is a Malamed, a Rebbe, so here goes. During the Rebbe's rowdy Beis Din reenactment, when a boy called out, "My sister saw it," and the other kid shouted, "Puzzle, girls can't give edus," and another kid who got caught whispering to his friend claimed he was just trying to be Dan L'chav S'chus, the boy judges let the boy playing the Tzurba Rabban litigant sit and invited the kid playing his opponent, the Amma Arts, to do the same. Once again, slow motion. During the Rebbe's, that must be more on Daf Lamed, Malamed. During the Rebbe's rowdy Beis Din reenactment, when a boy called out, "My sister saw it," and the other kid shouted, "Puzzle, girls can't give edus," which reminds us the fourth parak begins, Shavuos Ha'edus, the law of the oath of testimony, meaning witnesses who falsely swear they do not know edus necessary for a monetary case. No Heges Banashim Bo Banashim applies to men and not to women, nor to relatives, nor those who are otherwise disqualified aiding because of a transgression. Ve'ena No Heges El Beruin La'id, and it only applies to those who are qualified to testify. So, during the Rebbe's rowdy Beis Din reenactment, when a boy called out, "My sister saw it," and the other kid shouted, "Puzzle, girls can't give edus," and another kid who got caught whispering to his friend claimed he was just trying to be Dan L'chav S'chus, which reminds us of Braisid Darshan's from Betzedek Tishpot Amisecha, that the Pasuk teaches, Havidanis Chavercha L'chav S'chus, judge your fellow favorably if you see him doing something questionable. Rav Yosef taught a Braisid Darshaning it, Am she'itcha b'Torah b'mitzvahs, concerning one of your nation who is with you in Torah mitzvahs, hishtadu l'duno yafe, ensure that you judge him well. Rashi explains that Talmud Chacham's case should be judged before a simpleton's. So, during the Rebbe's rowdy Beis Din reenactment, when a boy called out, "My sister saw it," and the other kid shouted, "Puzzle, girls can't give edus," and another kid who got caught whispering to his friend claimed he was just trying to be Dan L'chav S'chus, the boy judges let the boy playing the Tzurban Rabban litigant sit and invited the kid playing his opponent, the Amma Arets, to do the same, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said that when a Tzurban Rabban, a young scholar and an unlearned person, are opponents in a court case, we seat the Tzurban Rabban and also invite the Amma Arets to sit. If he stands, there's no concern. So once again, during the Rebbe's rowdy Beis Din reenactment, when a boy called out, "My sister saw it," and the other kid shouted, "Puzzle, girls can't give edus," and another kid who got caught whispering to his friend claimed he was just trying to be Dan L'chav S'chus, the boy judges let the boy playing the Tzurban Rabban litigant sit and invited the kid playing his opponent, the Amma Arets, to do the same. All right, so now it's time for a four blot back Hazar. Daf Chavav. So the Siman Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. When two soldiers from the military coup, that must be on Daf Chavav. When two soldiers from the military coup made a Shavua while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, which reminds us, the Gemara brings an explanation of the Malchus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, if a Shavua's Bitui is also liable for the past. So when two soldiers in the military coup made a shvua while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, each swearing that the general had instructed them to do it their way, which reminds us of Bryce Darshan's the juxtaposition of the words Adam Shvua, a person in an oath, implying he is fully cognizant of his shvua, which teaches Prat La'anus, to exclude one who faultlessly swore falsely because he thought he was swearing the truth. An example is given from an incident of Rav Kahana Ravasi who disagreed about what Rav had said in a shir, and each swore Shuasa Dahachi Amar Rav, an oath that Rav said this way. When Rav later told them who was correct, the other asked if he had sworn falsely. Rav told him, "Your heart compelled you to swear, and you mistakenly believed you were swearing truthfully." So when two soldiers in the military coup made a shvuah, while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, each swearing that the general had instructed them to do it their way, a third soldier who was thinking about making a shvuah was not bound by it because he never verbalized it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Gamar Bolibo, even if one decided in his mind to swear, Sarik Shiyotz Besvasov, he must express it with his lips for it to be effective, because the Pasuk says, Levate Besvasaim, uttering with his lips. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Simur Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. At the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvuah, kaimas a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nishba levatlos a mitzvah, if one swore to violate a mitzvah, and he did not, he's exempt from shvuah's bitui liabilities. If one swore a kayim to fulfill a mitzvah, and did not, it's a malchok, stanakama, and Rabbi Yudah ben Misera, if he's chayav. So at the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvuah kaimitz a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, one man spotted a cake float and made two back-to-back kazoo-blown oaths not to eat it. Shul ochal ugazu shul ocholena, which reminds the Gemara explains the difference between shvuah shul ochal and shvuah shul ocholena. Rava said, the one who swears shvuah shul ochal kikrazu, an oath that I will not eat this loaf, is chayv as soon as he eats a kazais, which is the standard eating shiur. But one who swears shvuah shul ocholena, a note that I will not eat it, is chayv only for eating the entire loaf. Therefore, if he first swore, I will not eat it, and then swore, I will not eat the loaf, the first only prohibits eating its entirety, and the second prohibits even a kazais, and is therefore effective. So, at the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvuah, a kaimitz a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, one man spotted a cake float and made two back-to-back kazoo blown oaths not to eat it, shuocha ugazu, shuocha lena, only to learn that if he gets a heter for the first shvuah, the second one still buzzes into effect, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Mishnah discussed one who made three successive shvuahs, when the same law can be taught with two shvuahs. It answers that the extra case teaches, chiyuva hu deleika, there is no liability for the redundant shvuah, but the shvuah is there and not void, so that if he later finds a space to take effect, it takes effect. Rava taught the nafka mina is that if he requests a heter for the first shvuah, the second takes effect on him in its stead. Daf Chav Ches, so the simon Daf Chav Ches is a strong man, koach. So here goes. At the gym, the strong man, that must be on Dav Chav Ches, koach. At the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since a kazai still remained, which reminds us, on the previous Dav, Rava said that if one swore not to eat a particular loaf, and he ate it, then if a kazai of it remains, he can request to annul the shvuah, but not if he ate the entire loaf. Two interpretations are given, the first one being, the case is one who swore shvuah ochal, that I will not eat this loaf. Although eating the first kazais already violates the shvuah, he can still annul the shvuah if a kazais remains, because since the request for a heter is effective for him for the final kazais, the request is also effective retroactively for him for the first kazais, although it no longer exists. So at the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since a kazai still remained, then swore not to eat one loaf if he ate another, which reminds us, Rava discusses one who swore at shvuah shvuah ochal kikrazu, im ochal zu, a note that I will not eat this loaf if I eat that loaf, whereby one is the iser, the potentially forbidden loaf, and the other is the tanai, the conditional loaf whose eating triggers the shvuah. The shvuah comes into effect when he eats one of the loaves. Therefore, if he forgot the shvuah at that time, the shvuah is void because the requirement of ha'adam b'shvuah is not fulfilled. Rava discusses four cases. So at the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since a kazai still remained, then swore not to eat one loaf if he ate another, while his health-conscious gym buddy grunted through a double shvuah, swearing off 9 donuts and then swearing not to eat 10, which reminds us, Avimi asked about one who swore not to eat 10 figs and then swore not to eat 9. If he answered, he's only chayv once. Avimi said he was mistaken because the first shvuah still allows him to eat 9. Thus, the second shvuah prohibits something new and takes effect. Daf Chav Tes, so the Simur Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The man who made a shvuah that he saw a flying cot, that must be on Daf Chav Tes. The man who made a shvuah that he saw a flying cot, which reminds us, the next Mishnah gives examples of a shvuah shav. Nishba l'shanos as yadula adam. If one swore to contradict that which is known to people, who explains that it's known to at least 3 people. For example, he swore about a stone pillar that it's gold, that a man is a woman, or the reverse. Another example, nishba al-davar sh'yev sherlo. One who swore about something which is impossible, such as imori isi gamosh poreach ba'avir. If I didn't see a camel flying in the air. So the man who made a shvuah that he saw a flying cot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as cot, which reminds us, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, why shvuah about seeing a camel flying in the air is impossible? Perhaps he saw a large bird, which he called camel, and swore truthfully according to this intent. The Gemara answers, Basupume Azlinan. We follow his word's straightforward meaning, Azlinan Basudaite, and we do not follow his private intent. So the man who made a shvuah that he saw a flying cot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as cot, said Amen when his friend was mashbihim, not to sleep in on cots anymore, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Ko ona Amen acho shvuah. Anyone who answers Amen after a shvuah, kamosa shvuah bepiv dame, is like expressing a shvuah with his own mouth, just like a sota merely answers Amen to the shvuah of the Kohen. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff in that shvuah's bitui even applies to dvarim she'ein behem mamish? For example, swearing that I will not sleep. That's on daf. Chavhei. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that shvuah's she'edus applies to valid edim? And women are pasul edus. That's on daf. Lamed. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn that one is not chayv if he thought he was swearing truthfully, even though, in fact, it was incorrect? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff you know that Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha teaches, have you done as a chavercha or chavschus? You should judge your fellow favorably. That's on daf. Lamed. Good.
Number 5.
Which stuff do you discuss once swearing not to eat 9 figs and then not to eat 10 or the reverse? That's on daf. Chavches. Good.
Number 6.
Which stuff do we have an explanation of the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel if a shvuah's bitui is also liable for the past? That's on daf.
Chavav.
Good.
Number 7.
Which stuff do you discuss examples of a shvuah shav, for example, one who swore about something which is impossible, such as seeing a camel flying in the air? That's on daf.
Chavtes.
Good.
Number 8.
Which stuff do you learn how to treat a tsuma rabban who is a litigant or an aide? That's on daf.
Lamed.
Good.
Number 9.
Which daf do we machlokas whether one who takes a shvuah lekayemus a mitzvah and does not, whether he's chayv? That's on daf.
Chav Zion.
Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that according to Reish Lakish, an Isser Kol only applies be Isra Bama'elav, such as Yom Kippur? That's on daf.
Chav Dalad.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.